The Lord be with you.
Jesus says, do not be afraid, but friends, I am here to share with you that for the past 2 weeks, I have had a lot of fear and anxiety. I've had fear for our campus, I've had fear for our ministry, I've had fear for my job. And the reason I've had this fear over the past 2 weeks has to do with the fact that we have, for the past 2 weeks, partnered with Safe Space to host a cooling center here on campus. And this is something we have done for years. Since before I became a pastor here 9 years ago, our congregation has teamed up with Safe Space in the winter to provide shelter for folks getting out of the cold. But in the winter, there's a different structure. In the winter, there's one location for all of Chico, and every day, people who'd like to come to the shelter check in at that place and then are bused to different churches at different weeks. And then in the morning, they're bused back to that central location. But in the summer, while we provide a place for folks to get out of the heat, either because they don't have AC or they can't afford their AC, what that means is people are coming in the afternoon and early evening, and they come and go as they please. Except a lot of our guests for our cooling center don't have watches. And so they don't know what time it is versus what time the cooling center is supposed to open. And so they'll come early, and when they see it's not open, they have a bunch of stuff. And so obviously they'll set down their stuff because it's heavy to carry. And the first day Safe Space happened here, I looked out in the courtyard and there was just stuff scattered all over the campus, in the bushes, on the grass, and the sidewalks. And I thought to myself, oh, what's this gonna do to our campus? But you know, Jesus says that if your treasures are on earth, moths will come and consume them. Earthly possessions wear out. That's just what happens to them. And so on a certain level, I was like, fine. We can handle a temporary trampling and trashing of our courtyard. But friends, some of the folks who showed up didn't just hang out in our courtyard. They would hang out in this back parking lot. And this is something everyone here at Faith Lutheran needs to know. We don't own that whole back parking lot. We only own the first two rows of parking spots that are closest to the church. The rest of it is owned by Mangrove Medical Center. Back when this building was built in the late 80s, the city would not permit its construction unless we had sufficient parking for the number of people who would come. And those parking spots were not sufficient. And so we made a deal with Mangrove Medical that on weekends and in evenings, we would get access to their parking lot. And during the business hours of the week, they would get access to our parking lot. And so when our guests from Safe Space would come and they would see that we were still closed, they would go and they would set out their stuff in the parking spots in this back parking lot. They weren't taking our parking spots. They were taking the parking spots of patients seeking medical care at a facility that never signed up for Safe Space. And understandably, this made our neighbors very frustrated. But beyond that, Safe Space had asked if they could bring a shower trailer so that our guests might have a place to get clean. And that seemed like a lovely idea. And we said, just make sure to use this side parking lot over here and bring the trailer at the end of the business day so that it doesn't affect our neighbors. The trailer came smack dab in the middle of the business day. And it came not just once, it came twice. The first time it came was just to drive around and look for good faucets. But both times it came, it completely blocked all access on this side to the medical center. The director of the medical center, the second time the trailer showed up, he came out and started yelling in his frustration that his patients couldn't get the care that they were seeking. And then I found out that Safe Space, unbeknownst to us, had also scheduled for the next week the Butte County Public Library mobile bus to come. If you haven't seen this, it's fabulous. It's a whole, like, full-size bus full of books. It's great, but it is, once again, a full-size bus that they were planning to park in the smack dab middle of business hours back here. And I thought to myself, oh, no. Our neighbors are just going to, like, tear up our agreements. We're not going to be able to have enough parking. The city is going to say, you don't have a license for this building. We're just going to have to shut down our church. And what really got my anxiety going is that we had said to Safe Space, all right, let's have the cooling center start at 2 p.m. because we've got different events happening at our church until then. And they said, great. and they signed an agreement. And then the next day they called us and said, actually, we have been advertising that it's going to start at 1 p.m. to a population that doesn't have easy communication to get updates on what time it's starting. Now, here's the problem. We had scheduled vacation Bible school to end at 1:30. And this was the moment where I thought to myself, I'm going to lose my job. Yeah? I'm just imagining the worst possible interactions that could happen from our guests at the cooling center and the kids and their parents all converging. And I thought, what can I do? Well, I could cancel VBS. I could cancel Safe Space. What I ended up doing was reading the gospel for this Sunday. And I heard Jesus say, sell your possessions and make alms. And I thought to myself, the person who's going to steal the things I treasure most is Jesus. Because Jesus is the one who's saying, all your stuff, just sell it and give it to people in need. And I'm saying, Jesus, no, I need that stuff. And Jesus says, oh, don't worry about it. You'll get an unfailing treasure in heaven if you do that. And they say, well, that's real great when I go to heaven, but a fact good help, that's now, right? And today we hear in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, a list of heroes who live their life in the Bible, starting with Abel in the book of Genesis and going to the women in the book of Acts. And all these people are given promises, but it says that they all died in faith without receiving those promises. You say, wait a minute. There's a whole book of the Bible dedicated to just listing all the people who didn't get what God promised them? How is that a helpful book of the Bible? Like, what? Except that's just the first part of Hebrews 11:13. Because it goes on to say, all these died in faith without having received the promises. But from a distance, they saw and greeted them. From a distance, they saw and greeted those promises. Abraham and Sarah, they were promised that they would have more descendants than there are stars in the sky or grains of sand on the seashore. They never lived to see that. But at age 100, Abraham did live to see a single legitimate son born to his wife that he could hold in his hands. He didn't receive the full promise, but in that single child who would go on to be ancestor of millions upon millions, Abraham got to see a glimpse of what God had promised him and to greet it for himself. Friends, this past week, Jesus let me see a glimpse of that heavenly treasure that was promised and let me greet it. This past Saturday, when Vacation Bible School and the Cooling Center were going to overlap, our director of youth and children ministry, Josh, rearranged VBS's schedule so that half an hour before the cooling center started, all the kids in VBS would go into our Sunday school rooms away from where the cooling center was happening. But that still meant parents would have to come and pick up their kids in the midst of Safe Space happening. And it also did not account for the fact that people might show up early, right? This is a continual problem we've been having. And sure enough, just as soon as we shuffle all the kids back into the classroom, a big, burly guy walks into the courtyard about half an hour before Safe Space is supposed to start, and he's not wearing a shirt. And another guy follows him shortly after. And that big, burly guy, he looks around, and he turns to the second guy, and he goes, there's kids here. We got to keep it cool. And he ushers the other guy out of the courtyard. And then a few minutes later, he comes back. But this time, he's fully dressed. And he positions himself in the courtyard so that as other Safe Space guests come up, he greets them by name, and he says, hey, we got things going on today. I need you to go over that way. I'm struck by this. So I go over and I chat with him. His name is Noah. And he said, you know what? He's had a rough childhood, hard life, but he told me, the moment in his life when he had felt most love was at his church's youth group. And so when he saw that there were kids at our church today, he decided he was going to spend his day using his relationship with everyone he knew to make sure our kids didn't have any problems. And then the next day, we had church on Sunday. And three of the guests from Safe Space came and worshiped with us to find out more about this love that had given them sanctuary in the heat of the day. And on Monday, when I was fielding more complaints from our neighbors, a mom knocked on the office door looking for the cooling center, and she had a little boy with her. And the little boy asked me, "What's the Wi-Fi password?" I said, "Little boy, why do you want to know the Wi-Fi password?" He said, "Because I want to watch Paw Patrol, which is a show my daughter loves to watch." And I realized in that moment, I was being given a glimpse of the treasures that await us in heaven. Last Sunday, we heard Jesus tell us that we can't take our earthly possessions into the life that is to come, but friends, we do take our relationships. Heaven is a treasury of relationships, a treasury where hearts are never broken and love never runs out, and our relationships with the people that we care about are never lost. That is the unfailing treasure that awaits us in heaven. And friends, I was given a glimpse of that treasure, and I realized that what I wanted was for my heart to be in that place, not with fear of all the things that I could lose on this earth, but secure in that heavenly treasure that I would have forever. Today, Jesus tells us that where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And we tend to think it's the reverse. We think, well, where our heart is, our money and our treasure will follow. But that's not what Jesus says. He says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And what that means is, if your heart is not where you want it to be, you can move your heart to somewhere else simply by moving your treasure there first. I wanted my heart to be with our guests at Safe Space. And so I thought about the treasure I had. First and foremost, my time. And I said, okay, what if I start moving more of my time, not just to managing the chaos of Safe Space, but getting to know the guests themselves? And so that's what I did, and I got to know a veteran who was convinced throughout his life that God was punishing him for the things that he had done in war until he had a heart attack. And he realized that if God had let him live through that heart attack, God must have forgiven him and had a purpose for him on this earth. I met another man who was convinced I was too young to be a pastor, and since I didn't have the experience needed to minister to folks, he went about teaching me how he was ministering to every single person in that room. He had actually some good points. I met a man who was robbed in Bidwell Park, had his wallet stolen, and with it he lost all his ID and his food stamps and everything, until he ran across a street ministry. And another man who, in Jesus' name, spent the whole day driving this man around Butte County to DMV and the Social Security offices so he could get his driver's license and his Social Security card and his food stamps restored. And that man was crying as he told me this, and he wanted to know how he could give that love to someone else. I saw that unfailing treasure in that moment, and it was beautiful. But I also knew I could only be ministering to these folks because we had a building and a parking lot, and if I didn't do something, those things would be in trouble. Before Hebrews 11 tells us about all these people who only get a glimpse of what God has promised them, Hebrews 11 verse 1 says that faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. And as beautiful as that translation is, you will notice that there are two footnotes, if you bring it back. There are two footnotes next to the words assurance and conviction, because even our translation acknowledges that maybe there's better words to translate what is being explained in this verse. You see, assurance and conviction, they sound like an emotional state. But the word that's translated as conviction, oh no, bring it back. The word that's translated as conviction is hypostasis. Hypo means under, right? If you're hypoglycemic, you have low blood pressure. And stasis is to set something or to stand something. And so hypostasis is the standing under, the supporting, it is the foundation. Our translation in that footnote suggests you could even translate it as the reality. Faith is the reality of things hoped for. And that word that's, or actually, I guess this one was assurance. The word that's translated conviction is elenkos. And elenkos, it literally means the testing of something, and therefore the proof of something. Our translation in the footnotes suggests that we could translate it as the evidence. Friends, faith isn't just a feeling. It is the evidence lived out in life of a reality that is not yet seen but hoped for. I think sometimes we think faith means agreeing to all the parts of the Nicene Creed. But friends, that's not what faith is. Faith is living your life to give visible evidence of what is hoped for by the God described in the Creed and in the Scriptures. It's like the difference between saying faith is explaining the aerodynamics of how a tin tube with wings can fly 30,000 feet in the air. No. Being able to explain why that works is not faith. Faith is getting on a metal tube with wings and flying 30,000 feet in the air, right? That's an act of faith. One actually gives evidence of your conviction. Abraham, we hear in Hebrews, it says that by faith, Abraham and Sarah received the power of procreation even though they were too old. And what that means is that age 190, Abraham and Sarah didn't just twiddle their thumbs saying, well, probably God will give us a kid. Let's just wait and see. No, it meant they actually did the activity needed at age 190 to create a child because they believed that God would make it possible. And so their life became visible evidence of the reality that they hoped for. And I realized that if my belief is that in the life to come, my treasures will be the relationships I have, not just with the people in this room, but our guests at Safe Space, the staff at Safe Space, and our neighbors at the medical center, I had to figure out what it would mean for my life to reflect that. What would it mean for my life to give evidence of the reality that I believed was to come? And so I prayed with our office manager, Michael. I shared all these things I was thinking about, and the two of us prayed. And what we realized was we couldn't just sit around peering through our windows, complaining and griping. We needed to make a plan. And that plan started with talking to the staff of Safe Space. And so before we talked to them, we prayed also, and we prayed that God would help us focus not just on complaining about the problems, but finding solutions for our common goals. And here's what I'll say. When we called the staff at Safe Space, they were immediately responsive. We talked about the fiasco with the trailer, the shower trailer, and we said, we're worried about this bus that you're gonna bring next week. And they talked about it, and they said, you're right. Let's reschedule the bus for another week at a different location. And we said, we're concerned about the folks who come early and are ending up in our neighbor's parking lot. And they said, you're right. We'll come in the hours beforehand and redirect people who come early. But Michael and I realized we needed to play a part in that also. And so every half hour, starting when we arrived in the morning, we would walk the grounds. And when people showed up too early, we'd say, hey, we want to welcome you into Safe Space. But to do that, here's what we need from you. We need you to help us have a good relationship with our neighbors. And that means coming back in an hour or 2 hours or however long it was. And after we'd done that for a while, Michael said, we should also probably go talk to our neighbors at Mangrove Medical. We should probably apologize and explain what we're doing to rectify the problems. And friends, I did not want to do that. They have yelled at us many times. But here's the thing, faith is not the belief that we are always right. Faith is evidence that we believe in a reality in which God forgives us when we are wrong. And that means a life of faith is a life of apology. And so Michael and I walked over to the two offices over there, and we apologized, and we said what we're doing to fix the problem. Did they pronounce God's forgiveness to us in that moment? No. Do we still have an agreement to share parking lots? Yes. When we would ask people to come back a little later so we could host them for safe space, were they always happy about it? No. Were the vast majority courteous and understanding? Yes. Did it mean there was no longer trash around our campus? No. Did the amount of trash each day continually decrease? Well, Judy Strzok, God bless her, every day this past week has showed up before 8 a.m. to pick up trash, and she would write me a report about how much she'd found. And her reports say, yes, in fact, the amount of trash has continually gone down every day since we started doing these things. Are there still going to be complaints, fallout from this? Yeah, probably. But was I able to act in the way that I felt my God had called me to, so that we could keep dozens of people out of the heat and off the street in a place of Christ's love? Yes. And because of that, by the end of the week, I realized I wasn't afraid anymore. You see, unlike faith, anxiety is an emotion. It's an emotion that largely comes because of a lack of action. We're anxious about things because we think we have no control over them. But when we actually take action to resolve what we're worried about, our anxiety goes down. And friends, this is why after Jesus tells us, little flock, do not be afraid, he says, be dressed for action and keep your lamps lit. Because here's the thing, we never know when Jesus is going to show up in our lives like a thief in the night, eager to take all those possessions we cling to so dearly and give them to someone else who needs them. But Jesus tells us when we are willing to take that action, to live a life of faith, not just of thoughts, but of actions, well, then our master sees us serving others and is eager to serve us, eager to serve us the kingdom of God, where God is the one who rules our life, not our fear and not our anxiety. Friends, what are you afraid of today? What causes you to be anxious? What are you worried about losing? Today, we will baptize Ava. And when we do, we will proclaim our faith. But as we proclaim those words, I want you to wonder about the God who is described in those words. And I want you to wonder, where has God given you a glimpse of the promises in your life that you have been able to greet, even if they haven't been fully received? Friends, hold on to that glimpse of that eternal treasure. May your life cease to be anxiety and start to be action. May your life become evidence of the reality which God has promised you and which you bring into being, so that having received these eternal treasures, Christ may steal your fears. Amen.